Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same God, and we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for singing for us this evening. Well, I want to preach to you for just a little while, and then we're going to see somebody follow Christ in baptism. We're excited about that, but we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I want to preach for just a little while. You'll find 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, then 1 and 2 Kings, then 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I want to preach about for a little while a walk with God. We see Uzziah, the evaluation of him. We see how he's assessed in what he does, the king. And of course, we hear of Isaiah or Uzziah in other passages when he's mentioned in Isaiah and other passages in the Kings. But we've got a wonderful story of Uzziah who walked with God. And I think it's quite a thought that we can walk with the Lord. But you know, it wasn't unique to that day. You can walk with the Lord today. And sometimes I talk to people and I think they're amazed and surprised and in wonderment of how would you walk with the Lord. I want to look at a little bit of that tonight, and I trust it's a blessing. In 2 Chronicles 26, the Bible says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." I'll preach for just a few moments about a walk with the Lord. And I trust it's a blessing. Father, be with us now in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks in the book of Genesis about Enoch, said Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So much so was his walk with the Lord that the Lord said, "Well, Enoch, we're not going to send you home. We're just going to bring you on to here to your heavenly home." And we probably know what it is to walk with people, meaning that you've got a friend that you travel with through life, you get to converse and communicate and fellowship with, and it's easy to understand how we walk with people. But sometimes, as I said before, some people have a difficult time figuring out how to walk with God. But it's a simple process, and we see it here in this passage. And the simple process is, in verse number 4, it says he did that which was right. In verse number 5, he says he sought God. And as we do right and seek him, he says that we will find him in the book of Jeremiah. It says, "You shall seek me and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart." God commits himself to be found of you when you seek him. And you as a believer tonight, and you're looking, you're saying, "Brother John, I want to walk with the Lord. I want to seek the Lord. I want to be close to the Lord." Then the Lord gives this promise, "You'll find me." It's not that we are looking and we can't find him. It's that the world has choked out our looker. The world has choked out our desire seemingly. And we get so enthralled with everything else that's going on. And it's almost as if our walk with the Lord is just an afterthought, that we do that when we have time. But I want to look at just a few aspects of tonight. And I trust it's a blessing. In verse number 4 and 5, we'll see the power of the walk with God. He says in verse 4, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." And verse number 5, "He sought God in the days of Zechariah." I see this, the power of the walk with God. And I'm afraid, my friend, that we walk around sometimes half defeated, not knowing what it is to have the joy of the Lord in our heart. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we walk around sometimes half defeated. And we feel like, or we realize, I should say, that we're a poor billboard for the Lord. You understand that sometimes the grouchiest, the hardest to get along with, the most cantankerous, the most sideways, the most bitter, the most ugly, the most unkind, the most all whatever else you put in there in that vein, the most awkward people that we know sometimes are those that claim to be saved. Friend, that's not supposed to be. We have got victory in the Bible. We've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you as a Christian, if you've got Christ in your life and in your heart, then you ought to be the best representative you can for Christ. You ought to have the power of the walk with God. You've got the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. My God is able, and your God is able to overcome your shortcomings, fix your problems, answer your questions, repair your marriage, see you walk on a solid ground, supply your needs, and put a salve on the wounds that life puts in your life. I'm just saying this morning or this evening that we've got a power with the walk of God that's available to us as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." That sounds like a vibrant relationship, not a dead religion. But I'm afraid sometimes that we act as if we're enduring the Christian life instead of enjoying all that God has for us. The Bible says about Uzziah, this king here that sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I see that there's a power of the walk with God, but I'm so excited about the next point. I want you to look at verse number 11 if you still got your Bible open there. We see not only the power of the walk with God, but I'm going to look and show you the company of the walk with God. In verse 11, "Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out by war, by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeriel the scribe, and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. I see not only the power of the walk, but then I see the company of the walk. Can I go on record to say that God's people are the best people that I know? Not all of them. You say, "Pastor, I know some that I wouldn't want to be in a dark alley with." Well, don't be in that dark alley. What are you doing there? Go home at night if it's night and dark anyway. Don't be back there. "But I wouldn't want to be with them, Pastor, and they claim to be saved." I'm saying this, that there are some rascals, but I'm saying that there are some of the greatest people that I would ever want to be around that also name the name of Jesus Christ. Tell me this. Have you ever been somewhere? Maybe you've been on vacation. Somebody may be on a cruise. You've been out. You've been doing this, that, the other. And you meet somebody, and immediately you know you've got that bond of Christ. It's almost like you've known that person for years, but you just recently met them. The Haleys are that way. We've got to spend this weekend with them, but I feel like I've known them for decades. My friend, that's the bond of Christ. That's because we have a common desire. That's because we want to see the world reach for Christ. That's because he knows the Lord and she knows the Lord and we know the Lord. I'm just saying that we've got the company of those that walk with God. In verse number 11, there was a host of fighting men. In verse number 12, there was the chief of the fathers of the mighty men. And then verse number 13 shows that there is an army of all of those that help the king. Of course, I know there's some scoundrels out there, but I know some wonderful saints of God. If we want to compare the two, you take the bartenders and you take the drug dealers and the ones that are making the manufacturing the beer and doing all of these things, and then give somebody else the preachers. And there'll be a few over here that you don't want, but by and large, most of them will be those that you feel safe in leaving your children with. I have the privilege of getting to talk because of my position that I hold here and get to be the pastor of this great church. I talked to last week, I talked to a president of a missions board. I talked to recently a president of a Bible college, and I got to talk to somebody that 2 weeks ago that directs a children's home. And I got to talk to several Christian business owners about a certain issue. And I got to talk to several pastors, and I have a Christian dad that I get to counsel with, and I have a wonderful pastor. I have all of these people that I get to fellowship with and talk to about issues. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't have all those." Well, there's lots of people right here in this auditorium that would give you a good godly counsel. If you're having an issue, there's plenty of people right here that have been through some of the same problems that you might be facing. And the Lord gives you that camaraderie. If our pride doesn't keep us from asking for help from somebody, then God would give you someone that's been through what you're currently going through, and God would use them to help you navigate the path if only we would humble ourselves and ask. I'm seeing the company of the walk with God, and I want to see that company that God gives us as we walk with Him and see Him do wonderful things as He changes our life. But as I hasten, I have to give you this third one. I want you to look down in verse number 16, because it's not all pretty. We see the company that He had. We see the power that He had to walk with God. But verse 16, "But when He was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. It's amazing that sometimes the very blessings of God turn out to be the things that takes us down. We maybe look at that in our nation. The blessings of God have been poured out on us, and we take those blessings and we've been gluttons on the blessings of God, and almost those blessings are making us turn around and not be grateful for what God does for us. And we see the same thing with Uzziah. He was strong, the Bible says, but when he was strong, God's the one that gave him that strength. The Bible says that that comes from the Lord. God was the one that gave him the victory. Victory's of the Lord. And the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So I see the pride that destroys that walk with God. My friend, would you stay humble? If God's given you a wonderful family, be sure to look up and thank him for it. If God's given you more financially than you've ever thought you'd have, just turn around and thank God for it. If he's given you the blessings, and would you please not get haughty and arrogant and somehow think that because of the life you've lived or because of the good choices you made or because of the friends you had or didn't keep or whatever it was, that somehow you earned these blessings. Now, there are wonderful principles that you apply in your life and God will send the blessings, but I did say that God sends the blessings. And so let's not get conceited and think that somehow we were the ones that attracted all of those. And I hate to give this point, but the truth is that that pride destroys that walk with God. We ought to walk humbly before our God. The danger of having that successful walk that Uzziah did is assuming that you did something that warranted his favor and that you can achieve it alone. Sometimes you see pastors and they'll walk into conferences. I was at this conference one time and they treated the pastor, oh, just like he was at a homecoming parade. You know, everybody was waiting. He was just applauding him and all of that. I reminded of a story my mamaw used to tell about this pastor that he was so proud of himself and he came in to preach in this big meeting and he was kind of puffed up and he walked in with all kinds of arrogance, it seemed. But the message was a total flop. He searched for words and he wasn't very good at putting them together, kind of about like your pastor sometimes. And he didn't do very good on all of those things and he was totally humiliated. And instead of going off the platform in pride or in success, he kind of slinked off the other side. Mamaw used to tell that story that somebody told him and would be a bold person to do it, and maybe they shouldn't have anyways, but they said this to the young pastor. Mamaw said, if you had come in the way you went out, you could have went out the way you came in. And truly that's right. In the Lord's work, in your family, in your business, in all of the things, there's no place for this arrogance that we think that we are somebody. Can I remind you who you were when Jesus found you? So what if you cleaned up? So what if you straightened a few things up? You even did that through his power. We see Uzziah go into the temple. If you'd follow the whole story down there, 16, 17, 18, 19. He goes into the temple to burn incense, which he wasn't supposed to do. That was the priest's job. In verse number 16, it says that he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. We see Uzziah mad because he gets judgment cast against him. Then we see all of these 80 priests that come in and take on him because of his disobedience. One thing that I fear about our church is that that Satan would get into some relationships. I'm so thankful for our church and the unity we have, and we desire to help great missionaries, and we desire to do a lot of things, but I fear sometimes that Satan would get in amongst us, cause one person to rise up against somebody else, and in arrogance it would get ugly. True story, a church was voting to put a roof, not a tin roof like this one, but shingled. They couldn't decide on the colors. One church was wanting a brown or some other color, and the other, much of the church wanted another color. not able to come to a unified decision, which is pathetic, and it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. They decide to put color one on the one side and the other color on the other. What a shame for churches not to come together. And can I tell you, when we have that headbutting and we have that that ugly spirit, it's because we're not proactive enough about getting the gospel to the world that we've got to fight about all those things that don't matter. Curtis Hudson used to tell a story about hunting. He said, you got those dogs in the dog box in the back of that pickup truck. He said, you get those dogs in the back of that pickup truck, and they're nipping at each other because they ain't got nothing to do. They're in the box in the back of your truck. He said, you get that tailgate down and you get that dog box open and you get them on the scent of what they're really supposed to be after, then they don't have time to nip at each other. And that's sometimes the way we are. If we're not after the world and we're not after our neighbors and we're not after our coworkers, we're not after our cousins and our family members and whoever we haven't met yet, we're not after this old world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're not looking forward to what He wants us to do, then we have to turn sideways and complain about everybody else and what they're not doing. And I see Uzziah, the pride that destroys that walk. But I have to just tell you, it's a wonderful thing to get to walk with the Lord. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I've had the privilege of doing it. But it's a horrible thing to be walking in the flesh. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I've done that too. And all the power of a walk with God. You say, Pastor, I don't even understand how you get that. Well, it's really quite simple. As the scripture says, in verse 4, he did that which was right. And in verse number 5, he sought God. Sometimes we worry about, how would I know how to be filled with the Spirit of God? How would I know how to walk with the Lord? Really, all we have to do is empty us of us and yield the right of way to Him. One verse I just in a recent service, I said it, but I did it again this morning as I got ready to come to the pulpit. I physically looked in my Bible at Luke 11. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We act like it's all so spooky and kind of mysterious about how to walk with the Lord and how to have His power upon your life. Just empty you of you and say, Lord, use me today. Let me give you a sample prayer for tomorrow. You're like that one person that says, well, I haven't got mad in the morning. I haven't got mad. I haven't blessed anybody out. I haven't gotten sideways, and I haven't done all these other things, but I'm getting ready to get out of bed, so it may get ugly from here. That's about the way we are. When you get up in the morning, Lord, I want to empty me of me. You see, because you've got an old flesh, and that old flesh will get in the way every time. That old flesh will want you to be ugly towards your spouse, be short with your children, be unkind to your coworkers. Look at what's in it for you every time. Lord, I empty me of me. Best I know how, empty me of me. And would you fill me and use me today? I often think about, like the bus garage up here, I often think about like an old tool. You know, the power is not in that tool. The power is in a mechanic that picks up that tool. Nobody looks at that tool and says, oh, you've done such a great job fixing this car. You get the mechanic that grabbed the tool and turned the wrench. And that's all you have to be, Lord. I'm an old wrench. Greasy, busted, chipped a little bit. Not as pretty as it used to be. But if the master would get that wrench, then it could do wonderful work on the lives of people. Uzziah had a walk with God. It was such a wonderful thing. He blew it, but he gives a great example. Would you have that walk with the Lord? Bow your heads together with me, please. Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the example of Uzziah. Lord, he did right in the sight of you. Lord, I pray that you would help us take that example and follow you as well. Now, Lord, I ask you to help us all walk with you. I pray that we would be sincere, and we'll thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as they begin to play? Brother Dan, I'm going to ask him to come and lead us in that hymn of invitation, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." As he comes and sings that, you sing with him. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. If you need to be saved tonight, we didn't preach on that, but if you need to be saved tonight, would you step out and come? But maybe you need to have a walk with God. You say, "Pastor, I've never really thought about it." Oh, let's do more than think about it. Let's ask for it. Let's seek it. Let's let the Lord do it in our lives.
I have decided to follow.
Seated, and if you have to slip out, I understand for schedule or something, but It's a joy to get to just hear you sing and to think about trusting and obey, but the Foreign family is a wonderful blessing to our church, and we thank God for Nathan and Becca and their children, and Samuel is going to come and be baptized, and I told him the other night that I only baptize one kind of person, and that's the ones that know for sure they're saved, and Samuel knows for sure he's saved, and he's more of a blessing to me than he knows, and he's a encouragement. He is a very jovial young man. I thank God for him, and it's exciting to get to see him follow Christ in baptism, and mom and dad and some siblings are here on either side of me, and they're here to watch him get baptized as well. So the water's warm. We're ready, Samuel. So Samuel, in obedience to Jesus Christ, and because of your profession and faith in Him, and because you're clear on your testimony of the gospel, we baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. All right. You want to say anything?
Follow Jesus.
He said, follow Jesus. That's good advice. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church tonight. Brother Haley, Miss Haley, would you slip back to the lobby there? And I want everybody to get by and greet them and get to see them. And if you don't have a prayer card, make sure you get one that you can just go to the Lord continually about that and about them and the ministry and pray for them. Don't forget, if you're 55 plus, Brother Dan, 11:30, they need any instructions, bring something to eat. Don't bring something to eat. Bring food for you or for the others. Okay. A little of both. And it's a great time. If you're in that category, 55 plus, come and you, I know you'd enjoy it. It's always a wonderful time. So, anything else? All right, God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. You're dismissed.